Let's unpack. Hey, Mishnah. Hey. Okay. If you have a Pirkei Avos, we could see it because we're going to go through each word here in this Mishnah. So it says like this: Asar Nisim Nasul Avoseinu Beveis Hamikdash. There were 10 miracles that happened to our forefathers in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, the first question is, why is it important for the Mishnah to tell us this? Where, what's the purpose of knowing this? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that the Beis HaMikdash is the place of Avodah. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that just like in the Beis HaMikdash, there were 10 miracles in the Makom Avodah of the Jewish people, because when people come to do the Ratzon Hashem, Hashem does miracles to help them do it and takes away the things that would potentially stand in the way. So therefore, every time a person is also making an effort to do Avodas Hashem, he is going to be in the Bechina of the Jewish people at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and he will also receive a Bechina, a form of these miracles. So the purpose of the Mishnah is not just to tell us history, that the Mishnah, that once upon a time Hashem did 10 miracles to our forefathers, but rather he says, "He'inyanu ki kol ha'nisim hayu." The purpose of the miracles were, yeah, come in. The purpose of the miracles were, what was the purpose of the 10 miracles? Kedei laharois liYisrael hisnahagus Hashem yizbarach. The purpose of the miracles was for the Jewish people, to show the Jewish people that how Hashem behaves. Im ha'adam ba'asoyso ritzoyno yizbarach. The purpose of this is to teach us how Hashem treats someone that's doing his ratzon. Shehu misnayig imoy l'may l'mateva. That he treats him l'may l'mateva. K'moy shayim b'beis ha'mikdash. Okay? So he goes through each one of these miracles and explaining how this applies to each individual person. So obviously, the Pashut Pshat in the Mishnah is the miracle that happened in the Beis HaMikdash itself, but there's a certain deeper sense of explanation that this represents different miracles that Hashem does for each individual person in his own avoda, which is incredible remez, right? Which would make sense, by the way, why I was thinking that in this Mishnah, we list the 10 miracles, whereas in the previous Mishnah, it said there was 10 miracles in Mitzrayim. We don't list them, you know? And there's 10 miracles on the Amsuf. We don't list them. The Mepharshim would try to list them. Here, the Mishnah enumerates the 10 miracles. Why? Because each one is not a miracle that happened, you know, hundreds of years ago, 2,000 years ago. The miracle is actually happening with us daily as long as we are having the attitude that, you know, we're trying. Okay, so let's take the first one. He says, "Lo hipila isha me'reach basar hakodesh." A woman never had a miscarriage by smelling the basar, the meat burning, grilling on the Beis HaMikdash, on the mizbeach. That means that you could pass by the mizbeach and you smell this. Well, who's making this barbecue? It's like unbelievable, you know, like July 4th, you walk around the streets, you're like, you know, what's going on over here? Who's making this, you know, who's making the barbecue? So a woman walks by, she smells this meat, and she can't get it. She's not a kohen or whatever. So that would sometimes cause such tsar that it would cause a hapala, a miscarriage. But the miracle was that never happened. A miscarriage never took place in the Beis HaMikdash based on the woman's craving the meat of the kodesh. So Chaim Volozhiner says, what's the remez on that? He says, I can't learn. It's going to make me weak. I don't have time to learn. I gotta go to the gym. I gotta do exercise. I gotta go swimming. I gotta play my tennis, play my ball. I gotta get my carrot shake and make sure I'm in top shape and everything like that. So I don't have time to learn. I got to take care of my body. You know, it's very important. And sitting and learning in the Beis HaMikdash all day could really weaken you. It's not healthy. So, v'al zeh ya remez, and that's what the Mishnah is telling me. Afal pi, that the teva would be that if you smell the hektish, you'll have a miscarriage. So maybe a woman would say, you know, I don't want to go to the Beis HaMikdash because I don't want to risk that. So Mishnah says, no, it never happened. Because coming closer to the Beis HaMikdash and experiencing that experience will never backfire on your physical health. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying someone that comes to the Kodesh and wants to come smell and get a little bit more involved and more involved will not lose out on the other end. Okay? I've said before, you know, you look at, you know, Rav Steinman, you know, they lived to 100, 203 years old. Rav Eliashiv lived to 104 years. The pshat is not because they went to the gym or whatever. The pshat is because they only ate, they didn't eat for the purpose of enjoyment. They only ate for health. So when you eat very healthy, then you, like the Rambam says, if you would eat only healthy things, you know, like, you know, tomatoes and cucumbers most of the day, so you would, you wouldn't hurt yourself. You would end up being a lot more healthy. Right? So bottom line is, that this is what the Mishnah is saying. That's a kind of off topic. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Shalchein mutter laha. So the Mishnah says that somebody that comes closer and into the Beis HaMikdash and feels a little bit, the Kodesh will not get damaged. Their guf will not lose out on the other end, and they'll remain healthy and they'll remain Kodesh.
As long as you're learning, you could eat a lot of chulent. There's no worry about health. As long as you're learning, it's not a risk.
No, yeah, you could have it Thursday night, Friday night, Shabbos night, no problem. Motzei Shabbos. Yeah. So, okay. Next miracle that happened. When I was in yeshiva, some Motzei Shabbos, all the people from the community brought, warmed up their leftover challah and bring it to yeshiva. And in the coffee, in the dining room, they would put down like all the whole challah from the whole community, the leftover challah came to the yeshiva. Everyone would go and eat the leftover challah.
Really disgusting, Rabbi.
I don't mean leftover from their plate. I'm telling you, you know, they had from their bowls, and they had from their pots. And
So that's Rebbe.
That was pre-COVID. So the next one was Loipila Isha Mereach Basar HaKodesh. Okay, that's the first one. The next one. Vlohisriach Basar HaKodesh Me'olam. The Basar Kodesh, the Basar of the Karbanos never spoiled. So he says the same thing, that Laharish, in Yisnai Gadol B'Kedusha, the koach of sirchoin, the koach of a person who acts with Kedusha, the sirchoin, which is the spoiling, doesn't take place. And this is a koach of tzaddikim, that their flesh doesn't spoil. That person is buried in big tzaddikim, they stay shalim. So the idea is the same idea, that just like the Basar Kodesh never spoiled, that koach exists in tzaddikim as well. He says on a lower level is every person, he says, you know, it may not be to the point of the great tzaddikim, but every mitzvah person does protects them a little bit from this koach of sirchon, this koach of, you know, decomposition and spoilage. Interesting. Okay. Next, below nearest zvuv, and a fly would never come, beveis hamitbachayim, in the place of the shechita. Okay, so there will never be a fly in the place of the shechita. So he says two pshatim here. He says one pshat is that there's a gemara in Brachas that says that the yetzer hara is like a fly. Basically, it's very distracting. It flies around. It distracts you. It makes a lot of noise, but it has no mamoshes to it. You think this thing, what's going on? It's a hurricane. No, it's a little fly. It's buzzing in your ear. No, nothing's happening. Calm down. So the Gemara says that Yetzer Hara is like a fly. So he's basically saying that the more a person puts themselves into the Kedusha, the flies won't get to him. In other words, like we said before, the Yetzer Hara, there's two ways to attack the Yetzer Hara. One way to attack the Yetzer Hara is directly. Yetzer Hara, get away. Yetzer Hara, get away. Yetzer Hara, get away. So you push away the fly, it always comes back, right? But the Basar Kodesh didn't have flies, right? So instead of focusing on trying to shoo away the fly, focus on making yourself into Basar Kodesh. You focus into making yourself Kodesh, and the fly just goes away by itself. You don't have to worry about
it. I think in Brachot it said that Tzadikim never have flies around them, right?
I don't remember that, but if it does,
I recall something about flies never being in that. That's how he knew he was a tzaddik. They said knew he was a tzaddik because a fly never.
No, so that would make if that was
with the Elisha, case, no?
With Elisha. That Isha Shunamis knew and he was a tzaddik because he didn't have flies. Right, so according to this, it's the same concept. The fly is the remnant to the Avodah Zarah, to the Yetzirah. Okay, now. He says another pshat, a very interesting pshat here. He says that the Gemara actually in Bracha says, Hayetzahar domil is vuv, the Yetzahar is like a fly, the Yoshev ben shnei miftechei alev, and it sits right in between the two openings of the heart. So what does the Gemara mean? It sits right between the two openings of the heart, the fly, Yetzahar. So he says the idea is that there's two parts to the lave, the Yetzatov and the Yetzahara. But the Yetzer Hara, his job is sometimes when he can't convince you to do the Avera with the Yetzer Hara, he convinces you to do the Avera with the Yetzer HaTov. Then he says, you know what? Okay, so I'm not catching you. I'm not getting you to give me kavod. I'm not giving you to give me gaiva. You're not giving it to me. So you know what? So do the mitzvahs for gaiva. Do the mitzvahs for kavod. Do the mitzvahs for all the, and you know what? All these cheshbonos that you're making, you know, do the mitzvah for the wrong motive. Do the mitzvah, or you think you're being such a tzaddik, and you're going to yell at this guy. And really, when you're yelling at the person, you're not yelling at him because he's giving him muscle. You're yelling at him because you want to yell at him, right? So a lot of times, the Yetzirah comes dressed up and convinces the other part of the lave. That's why he says the Yetzirah is between the two parts of the lave. Sometimes it goes on the Yetzirah part. Sometimes it goes on the Yetzirah Tov part. And it convinces you through the Yetzirah Tov that, no, of course you got to give this guy Musar. Of course you got to do this, right? So that's what he says. Then he says like this. He says, so a lot of times, a person can have a doubt. I'm going to do a mitzvah now. But how do I know what's really my motive for the mitzvah? Am I really doing the mitzvah because it's the Yetzer Tov, or am I doing it because the fly caught me and the fly is distracting me and it's really the fly of the Yetzer Hara convincing me to do it? So how do I really know? So he says, there's only one way to know. Are you getting any cover from this or not? If you're not getting any cover, then you're probably doing it the right thing. But if people are looking at you and, oh, interesting. So now all of a sudden you're probably doing it for the cover. You're probably doing it for the ulterior motive. So if you're doing it for the ulterior motive, then it's the Yetzer Hara. But if you're not doing it, but if there's no ulterior motive to be had and there's no covet and you're basically getting bizyonis because of this, right? You know, you're basically getting, you know, if anything, it's you know, you're getting unappreciated and you're then probably doing the right thing. As Rabbi Layerfield from here would always say, says no good deed goes unpunished. So, you know, you try to do something good for someone and then, you know, who knows what the result. So he says, Al Derech HaRemez, he says that there was never a fly in the Beis Mikbachayim. The Beis Mikbachayim, on the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach, oh, everyone's looking and it's, oh, the Kohen is up there, fancy, schmancy. The Beis Mikbachayim is in the back in the kitchen. They're shechting the karbonas. Blood is flying all over the place. It's all dirty. It's all filthy back there. So he says there was never a Zvuv in the Beis Mikbachayim. And the Remez is, there was never the Yetzer Hara never caught anyone back in the back room when no one's looking to go do a mitzvah. When you're in the Beis Mikbachayim, when you're in the back room in the kitchen, your hands are dirty and you're doing a mitzvah, it's not from the Zvov. It's not from the fly. Because flies don't bother getting people to do mitzvahs back there. So that's the Remez, he says. Because the Remez is that fly, the fly didn't get you in the Beis Mikbachayim. The fly, the Yetzer Hara, doesn't get people to do mitzvahs over there. It's hard to get people to do mitzvahs in public when they're getting COVID. And, you know, so if you're in the basement b'chaim, then you're probably in good shape, as he says. So that's the third one. But there's 10 nisim, and we got to go through all 10. And he was just